Today's shiur is a Masechta Tmura on Daf Yud Beis. We will begin on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom of the Amud, at the beginning of the line with the word boy. We are in the middle of the sugya of Hispashtus, which was a machlokes between Rab Meir and Rab Yehuda on one side, and Rab Yosi and Rab Shimon on the other side. When someone is magdish a part of an animal, the bottom, for example, under the ankle of an animal's leg to Hegdish, whether that Kedusha now transfers throughout the animal. We're speaking about a case where it's Eina Neshama Tluya Boy, where the animal could survive without that part of its limb. And here Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda said, we do not say Hispashtus, and the only part that is Kaddish is that which he made Kaddish. And Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon disagree and say that there is a Spashtus HaKedusha throughout the entire animal. And against this backdrop, we now have the following question of Abaya from Rabbah. This is according to the Girsa of the Shita in Ois Yotes. Boy minei Abaya me Rabbah. Abaya had the following question from Rabbah, and not like we have in our Gemara from Rava. Higdish chad eiver mahu begiza. What happens if a person was magdish one eiver? What is the halacha concerning shearing? We know that on an animal of kachim, you're not supposed to do gizav avoida, shear the wool, or work with the animal. And the Shita in Ois Lamed Gimel tells us that this question is according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Meir, kamaboylei. The Omar loy pashta kedusha bekula. We're reading from the Shita 3 lines from the bottom of the Yamed. In Ois Lamed Gimel. The question over here is according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says we do not say Hispashtus HaKedusha throughout the entire animal. Mahu Oisai Ever Begiza. The Ila Rabbi Yosi, Kivan the Pashta Kedusha Bekula, Pshita the Asura Begiza Vavaita. Because according to the Shita of Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, who hold that we do say Hispashtus, so the whole animal is Kaddish. If the whole animal is Kaddish, so of course it's Asur Begiza Vavaita. So the Shita explains that this whole question is only according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, who do not say Hispashtus. So only this piece of the leg, the bottom of the ankle, is now Kaddish. There's no Hispashtus to the rest of the animal. Now, Rashi says that we do not have a question, can I work with this animal? Because since by working this animal, it's going to cause a weakness throughout the animal, in every part of the animal, so the limb, the part of the leg that I was magdish will become weakened, so that, of course, would be prohibited. The question is, what about shearing? Even though the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Hey Amid Aleph tells us that shearing affects the flesh of the limb on which the shearing takes place, but Ein Echnami, that will be Osir. That the Gemara didn't have a question on. The question is, what about the rest of the animal? Since that will not affect the limb that is Kadosh, is it Afal Pikein prohibited or not? In other words, although Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Hispashtus, perhaps concerning the Isser here of Giza, of shearing the wool, there will be some sort of Hispashtus that it will prohibit shearing the entire animal, although only a part of the leg is actually Kaddish. Says the Gemara, why don't we resolve this from something that's learned in the Braisa? It says concerning a Bechor, Leisigas Bechor Tzayncha, you should not shear the firstborn of your sheep. What happens if you own this sheep together, Bishutvis, partnership with a Goy? Then you are allowed to shear the wool. So we could say the same thing here by Hekdesh. Since part of the animal is Kaddish and part is Chulin, so just like if a Jew and a Goy own an animal together, it's mutter to do Giza, so too it should be mutter to do Giza on the part that is Chulin, since it's owned together with Hekdesh. So the Gemara says there are two distinctions to be made. Number one, Hosam loy nachsa le kedusha klal. Since it's partially owned by a goy, in that case, the kedusha doesn't go to the animal at all. So this animal has no kedusha of bechayra, since it's owned b'shutvus. And that's why it's permitted to do giza on the whole animal. But hacha nachsa le kedusha. Our question is over here, because there is kedusha on that part of the leg which he was magdish, so perhaps that prohibits giza throughout the entire animal. Lishnachrina, another lashon, another difference between the two cases, the case of shutvus by bechor in our case, because hasim over there ain biyoder lagdisha, he's unable to make it kaddish because it's partially owned by a goy. But hacha biyoder lagdisha, here he can finish out the kedusha, not only to be magdish that little piece of the leg, but he could be magdish the entire animal. It's up to him. So since it's biyoder, it's up to him that it's possible to be magdish the whole animal. Maybe there were machmer to say that giza is not only prohibited on that part of the limb that it was magdish, but it should be prohibited throughout the entire animal. The Gemara doesn't say teku here, but in fact, this question remains unresolved. And now comes a second question of Abaya to Rabba. Boy, minei Abaya mi Rabba. And again, the Shita here in Ois Chav Gimel changes Rava to Rabba. Abaya asked the second question from Rabba. Higdish oira mahu ba'avoida. If he was magdish just the skin of the animal, is it forbidden to do avoida with this animal? And Rashi explains that the Gemara is not asking a question here about Giza, because since through Giza you're not weakening the skin in any way, even though we learned before from the Gemara in Chulin, Koflamet Hay, that it affects the flesh, but it does not affect the skin whatsoever. So Giza is not a question. What is the question? By Avoida, where it is affected, it weakens the skin, so perhaps that should be prohibited. And the Achronim ask, if the Shaila over here is by Avoida, what's the Shaila? We just had in the case before, when he was Magdish just the limb. So we learned in Rashi that there's no Shaila by Avoida, because since it gets weakened, therefore, this limb gets weakened, so of course there's no shaila avoid as usr. So why don't we say the same thing here? If it's for sure that the skin gets weakened, it should be usr. So on this, the Sefer Dvar Shol wants to suggest the following answer, that before Einich Lami Rashi said there's no shaila, because if somebody works an animal, then every part of the animal, including the limb, the part of the leg that was niskadish here, that also is doing the work, and memela becomes weakened, and memela avadah would be usur. But over here, although the skin gets weakened, but we can't say that the skin is doing the work. So that's Gemara's question. Perhaps when there's a weakening, but it's not totally in, it didn't come as a result of work of that piece of the animal, perhaps there it would be mutter. Toshima, come in here. Ha'oimer ma'ashe b'mei ehashozu oila. If somebody says that this uber should, this that is within the stomach of the animal, which is the uber, the embryo, should be an oila. And this is going both according to Rabbi Yochanan and Bar Pada, because as we concluded on Amid Aleph, Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, we concluded that Bar Pada agrees to Rabbi Yochanan that if there is a tum here that has no mum, then we will definitely say the mother is a tum and the embryo is a tum. So then Avada he's moited to Rabbi Yochanan that somebody could be magdish the embryo without being magdish the mother. He can give independent kedusha to the yobber. That will be the case here where Bar Pada and Rabbi Yochanan both agree. So if somebody says the uber is an oila, the din is muteres begiza. He's permitted to do shearing of the mother, who is chulin, v'asur b'avoida. However, your asur b'avoida v'nekichush uber shabba, because the avoida on the mother will cause weakness in the embryo. So here too, since you're telling me there will be weakness in the skin, therefore it should talk to be asur b'avoida with the mother. Amar lei. So Abaye said, no, I still have a question. Why? Because ki ktani asur b'avoida mit rabbanit. My question was on a deraisa level. Is it asur mit deraisa? You're just bringing me a riot that the rabbanit said it's asur. Ein echanami, here will be asur mit rabbanit, but I want to know, is it even asur mit deraisa? So the Gemara says back, if you're learning that that's only an isur rabbanit, so why is there a distinction between giza and avoida? L'chayr, the logic of an Isser Rabbanan, a Gzeir Rabbanan, is that you shouldn't mix up. If you're going to say an embryo can have the mother work, and we'll say the same thing by a regular animal. If that's the reason, then it should apply to Giza as well. You'll mix it up with a regular animal. So, Ihachi afilu b'Giza nami titzer, it should also be also by Giza as well. Omer lei, no. Avoida the mikhisha, by avoida where the embryo itself becomes weakened. So then goes the rabbanon. The rabbanon were geyser. But giza, where through shearing, where the embryo itself does not become weakened, there like gozer by rabbanon. So therefore my question still is a question that here on a deraisa level, do we say in the case of the skin, that it should be usher for avoida, and there's no raya from the case of uber, because over there it's only a gzeira derabbanan. Again, the Gemara doesn't say teku, but this question of abaya to rabba also remains unresolved. A final question the Gemara asks is, of Abai is asking, not from Rabba, he went now to Rabbi Yosef. Boy, minei, Abai yim Rabbi Yosef. Abai asked the following question, Rabbi Yosef. He shlomim uvlada chulin. What happens if he says the animal should be a shlomim, but the vlad should be chulin? There are many ways to understand this question. The simplest way is that it's going according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds uber lav yerech imoy, and therefore a person has the ability to make the mother a shlomim and not the embryo, because the embryo is not considered a part, a limb of the mother, and therefore the kedusha of the mother is not automatic on the embryo. However, according to Bar Pada, who holds, as we saw on Amud Aleph, that uber yerech imoy, so then l'chayre, if the mother gets kedusha, it'll automatically transfer over to the embryo. So the Gemara is asking, according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Tzal Rundberg, the Gemara is asking one question here, but it's giving two examples. So the first example is, he shlomim uvlad acholim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that uber lav yerech imoy, the mother is kadosh, but the vlad remains cholim, if that's what he was magdish. And now what happened in the first case, v'shachta b'fnim, and now he shechted the mother. In the Azara, mahu, what is the din? Is the shoichet over for shechting chulin in the Azara? Because the shechit of the mother works on the embryo, and the embryo is chulin. So was it, you're not allowed to shecht chulin in the Azara. So here, he was shechting chulin in the Azara. Is he over? And now a similar question with another case where the mother is has kedusha and the vlad does not. Where will that be? If it's a vlad of kachim. In other words, the mother became pregnant after the kedusha. Lamandi omer vlad de kachim bava yasein kedushin. We learned on Amud Alpha Machloikis whether the embryo in a mother is kadosh in the mother's stomach or only when it gets born. So according to Man Yomer, says it only becomes kadosh when it gets born. What happens if he shechted the mother in the Azara and it was a vlad kachim that the mother became pregnant after the kedusha? So the Kedusha transfers over to the child, but only when it's born. And it's not yet born, so it's still Chulin. So here we have two cases. One is where he was Magdish the mother, and he was not Magdish the Uber inside the mother. And the second case is where it's a Vlad Kachim, and it only becomes Kadesh when it's born, according to that Mandi Yomar. So in both cases, if he shechted the mother, the question is that considered chulun in the Azor? Mi havi chulun b'Azor or like? As we turn to the Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Amar Lei, he said to him, where do we know the whole din of shechting chulun b'Azor, that it's prohibited? We learn it from a pasuk in Dvorim, Perik Yud Beis, pasuk of Aleph. Ki yichak mimcho hamokim, says the pasuk, asher yivchar Hashem alikecho, losum shmoy shom, vizavachtum ibkorchum itzoncho, v'ochaltu b'sharecho. So, since the whole Isser comes from there, because we understand the pasuk to be telling us that chulin has to be shechted, ki yirchak mimcho hamokim. It has to be shechted away from the Beis HaMikdash, and not in the base of Zavachtum Ibkorchum Mitzoncha, where? In that far off place, but not in the base of Migdash. Amar Lei, so he responded to his question, Mi Karinim Bei, Ki Yirchak Mimcho HaMokom Bezavachta? Since we're learning it out from that pasuk, as Rashi explains on the top of the Amud, the Gemara in Kedushin of Nun Zayin Amud Beis tells us that you can only shecht it far away and not close by in the Azara. But over here, could we in fact apply the pasuk? Here he's not able to shecht this behemoth only in the Azara. Why? Because it's a shlamim. You can't tell him, go shecht this far away. This animal, the mother, is a shlamim. The mother, I can only shecht in the Azara. Memela will never be over on shechting chulin in the Azara because I don't have a choice to shecht far away. I have to shecht it here in the Azara because of the mother. So memela, I'm not over for the embryo. Boy, I had another question from Rabbi Yosef, just the opposite. What happens if he chulin, the mother is chulin uvlad shlamim, and the embryo is a shlamim. And Rashi says this is going according to the Mandi Yomar that kedushas chal ala uberin. And the question is, as the Gemara continues, v'shachta b'chutz, he shechted this animal outside of the Azara. Mahu, what is the din? Mimachavala mishum shchutei chutz or loy? Does he get chorus, as Rashi says, for shechting a kadosh animal outside of the Azara? Because now the shechita of the mother goes on the vlad. The vlad is kadosh, even though the mother's not. So maybe he's over on shchutei chutz, and he would be an oinish of chorus outside of the Azara. The achroinim wonder why Rashi said, Aliba de Mandi Omar Kedusha Chalal Ubrim. Because as we learned, Barpada is moited to Rabbi Yochanan. Everybody holds that by a tam. The halacha is that you can be Magdish, just the Uber that Kedusha is Chal. It's not one Mandi Omar. That was the Gemara's Havamina that Barpada argues on Rabbi Yochanan. But the Maskon of the Gemara is that everybody holds against. The Achroinim, the Chaknasin, and the Dvar Shol, they all discuss this question, why Rashi said according to one Mandi Omar. But the question of the Gemara is there halacha of Shchutei Chutz in such a scenario? Omar Lei, so he answered them, there's another Pasuk. The Pasuk is in Vayikra Perek Yitzayim, Pasuk Hey, where the Pasuk says concerning Shchutei Chutz, L'man asher yaviu b'nei Yisrael esivcheyem asher hem zoichim al p'nei asodah ve'vim l'ashem. You should bring the karbonos that used to be permitted on the bamos that are no longer permitted. Now you have to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash to shech them in the Azara. You cannot shech them outside of the Azara. But here, this embryo is not in a state, hasn't been born yet, so it's not in a state to bring it to the Azara, and therefore there will not apply to it the prohibition of Shchutei Chutz outside of the Azara. Lishnachrina, another Lashon, Amar Lei, Ru'i L'Pescha Omoyed, Chayiv and Lev Bachutz. If it's something that can be brought to the door of the Omoyed, then you're Chayiv if you shechted it outside. But since this can't be brought in this present state, you're not chayv. The Yachorinim say that really there's no nafgimino alocha between the two Lushainas. They're just expressing the same concept in different ways. But the halacha remains the same, that you will not be over for Shchutei Chutz in this scenario. And now we turn to a Mishnah. The following Mishnah is really a Mishnah in Trumas Perikei Mishnah Vav. And it discusses many things that have nothing to do with Tmura. And the question is, why is it brought down in Masechta Tmura? And it's not just because, just like the last Mishnah on Daf Yud Amid Aleph began with the word Ein Mamirin Lo Yevorin Bo'ubrim Vlo Yevorin Bo'ubrim, so here too, our Mishnah begins with the word Ein Hamaduma Medame, also with the word Ein, but it's much more than that, because if you look further in the Mishnah, it has halachas of Tmura, two halachas, which come towards the end of the Mishnah. The first one is that Ein Tmura Oysa Tmura, that once you've done Tmura once to an animal, you can't then substitute the Kedusha on a second Tmura. And also the Machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, which we've had before, of Vlad Kochim, can you have Tmura from a Vlad Kochim or not? The Tanakhama says you cannot, and Rabbi Yehuda says that even a Vlad Kochim could make Tmura. So that's why this Mishnah, which starts out with many halachas that have nothing to do with Tmura, is repeated here, even though we have it already in Masechta Trumos. Begins the Mishnah first with halachas that have to do with Truma. Ein hameduma medama el fi cheshboy. The word meduma means something that is mixed up. You have a mixture mixed together, Truma, that fell into Chulin, and now this mixture can only be eaten, since it contains Truma, it can only be eaten by a Kohen Tohar. And now the question is, let's say originally a saw of Truma fell into Chulin, and if there would have been 100 saws of Chulin, it would have been Mevatl, that saw of Truma. But if there was not 100 of Chulin, then the entire mixture becomes Meduma. What happens if now a saw of Meduma falls into Chulin? What is the halacha? So the Mishnah says, Ena Meduma Medama El Fi Cheshbon. So we make a Cheshbon. Rashi in the Gemara will give an exact count of this Cheshbon, give an example. But what it's trying to say conceptually is that it will only affect the next mixture if the proportion of the truma that fell into the original chulin, if the amount of truma that is now in that saw of meduma would, had it fallen originally into the next batch of chulin, if it would not have 1 in 100, then it'll cause trouble in the next batch of chulin that it falls into. But what happens if you take that proportion that is in the saw of meduma and of truma, and that amount of truma would not affect the next mixture? The halacha is that the next mixture is not considered meduma; it will be considered chulin. In other words, if there'll be enough in the next mixture to be mevatel the amount of truma that is in the saw of meduma, then it will become chulin, it will remain chulin, and it'll be mutter for anyone to eat. The next halacha of the Mishnah is, ve'ena mechumetz mechametz al lufi cheshbon. The halacha is that if truma, which of yeast, which makes a dough turn into chametz, so there's no halacha of being bottle in 100, as the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos there in Masechta Trumas explains, because since the effect of that leaven item is so powerful, because we see the effect in the dough that rose to become a loaf of bread, it has such a powerful effect. So there, we do not say it's batal b'meya. So now, what happens if that mixture of truma and chulin, now part of it fell into the next dough? So the halacha is that it only is mechametz the next dough, elofi cheshbon. Again, you have to see whether the truma that is mixed in with the chulin had enough power to have caused the next dough to become chametz. But what happens if it only had enough power together? In other words, the amount that fell in, mixture, truma and chulin, just had enough power to make the next dough into leaven. That means that the truma did not have it on its own. It only had it together with the chulin. So then the next dough does not become truma, does not become meduma. There's no, it's considered that it's chulin, and a koyin is not needed. Anyone can eat it. The third halach is ve'ena mayim shuvim poislim es hamikva. Rashi at the bottom of the Amud, three lines from the bottom, says that for a mikva, a standing body of water of 40 sok, says Rashi, mei gishamim of rainwater, ksheirim letfila, deloi be'ena mayim chayim ela lezov bavad. You only need a running spring of live water for tahara of a zov, but for other tumais, a standing mikvah 40 saw is permitted. And we know that shloisha lugin, three lugin of drawn water in a keli that was put into a mikvah that doesn't have yet 40 saw, would pasul that mikvah, but that halach is only elufi cheshbon. Exactly what this means, we'll see the Gemara has one pshat, it shlugs up that pshat, and it remains with a second pshat. We'll see this in Amud Beis. The next halacha, ve'ein mechatas, ois mechatas, ela im matan efer. This halacha is that when the efer of the paraduma that are mixed together with the mayim chayim, and it's used in the tahara of somebody became in contact with a mace, with a deceased person. So that mechatas comes about when the ashes of the poor aduma that was burnt, when that's placed into the keli, which means that the water has to already have been there, as Rashi explains. Because if you're going to put first into the afer, it couldn't become mechatas, those ashes, because there's no water there. And the halacha is that it becomes mechatas right when the efer is put in. If so, it must be that first you have water in the keli, then you put in the ashes, then immediately it becomes mechatas because you have the mixture of the ashes and the water together. The ein beis apras, oisen beis apras. The halacha beis apras, as Rashi explains, is a beis apras means from the word a prusa, a fragment. It's a sada shenechrash bo kever. They plowed over a field. In the field there was a deceased, and now we are worried that the bones, the fragments of the bones, are spread all over the field, and somebody will walk there, and it'll be above the surface where he'll come in contact with touching it or moving it, heset, and it'll be metamin, and therefore the Chachamim said for 100 amas around the kever, it has a din of beis apras. There is a tumah there, midrabanan, called beis apras. The question is, could we extend beis apras to the next 100 amas? We'll say maybe the fragment got even moved further than the first beis apras. So we say no. The Mishnah says that ein beis apras, oisim beis apras. You cannot make a beis apras further than the initial 100 amas from the kever. Ve'ein truma achar truma. If you already took truma off once and you're going to take truma off again, the second truma does not have a din of truma. Ve'ein tumura oisa tumura. This is why we bring this Mishnah here, that once you've made tumura on one animal, you cannot transfer the kedusha from that animal onto a second tumura. Veloy havlat, and not a vlat of kachim, which is the case where the animal became this aber, pregnant after the kedusha, and now it's a vlad kachim, and now once the child is born, do we say that we can transfer that kedusha onto another animal? No. Tanakhama says that the vlad of kachim does not make v'loy havlad oise t'mura. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, havlad oise t'mura. Yes, it can make t'mura. Amru Levi said to him, hegdish oise t'mura. Hegdish can make t'mura. V'ein havlad oise t'mura. The vlad does not make t'mura. Begins the Gemara with the first case of the mission of Eina Meduma Medame. Mantana, who is the Tana of our mission? Amru Rabbi Chibar, Abba Rabbi Eichelim, Duloik Rabbi Yezer. Our mission is going not like Rabbi Yezer. This none, because we learned there in that mission in Truma's Perikei, Mishnah Vav. Saw shall truma shenaflo lepachas b'meya cholin. If a saw of truma fell into less than 100 saws of cholin, v'nidmu, and now there is dimua, it's all mixed up together. V'nafo mina meduma, and now one saw of the meduma fell lemakamakra to another container of cholin. Rabbi Eliezer oimer medame ketruma vaday. The dimua, the saw of dimua, has the same power as the first saw of truma that fell into the first container of cholin. When the saw of meduma, of the mixed truma and cholin, now falls into the second container, it has the same effect. If there's 100 against it, it's mevatlet. If it's less than 100, not. And now the Gemara puts we have parentheses here. A svara shani yomer, Rabbi Eliezer says, I say, saw shenafla, he shall also. We look at the whole saw that fell in, maybe it didn't get mixed well, and that saw remained intact, and that saw is what I'm taking out, and in fact, that whole saw is truma, and therefore I'll need 100 keneged that saw that's now falling into the second container. The Masoreis Shas points out, Rabbi Shaya picked, that we don't find these words in the Mishnah in trumas, and in the Chalami, the Melecha Shloima, in the Pirush Mishnayos and Trumas, says that these words were put in by our Gemara to explain the Mishnah. They're not really part of the Mishnah itself there in Trumas, but they're an explanation of the Svara of Rabbi Eliezer, which is given by the Gemara. And now the Gemara continues with the Mishnah there in Trumas, that the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Eliezer, Chachamim Oimrim, Ein the Medamas, El Lefi Cheshbon Shabbat. It only makes the mua, this saw of the mua that fell into the second container of cholin, it only does it proportionally according to the amount of truma that is in that saw. So now Rashi here explains what it means, that, for example, if originally one saw of truma fell into 23 saw of cholin, so now there's a mixture throughout the 23 saw of chulin of one saw of truma. So the ratio is one saw in a total of 24 saw that are there. One of those saw is truma, all mixed together. And since you have 24 lug in one saw, so it comes out that every saw that you're now going to take from this mixture is going to have one lug of truma per saw. Now, if this saw of meduma falls into a second container, so now, if there are 77 lug of chulin in the second container, and you already had 23 lug of chulin in the first container, so now you have 100 log, and therefore they will combine together to nullify the one log that was in that saw that fell in. Since there are 24 log in one saw, so there was only one log in that saw that fell in that was actually truma, proportionately. So if you have 77 other log of chulin in the second container, that will be mitzarf together with 23 log from the first container that fell in that one saw, and that will give you a ratio of 100 to 1. So you don't need 100 saw keneged the one saw of meduma, which is the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, because I say the same saw of truma that fell in, that's now the same saw that's going into the second container, then you'd need 100 saw. But if you only do it according to the cheshbon of the proportion, then it's only one log, and if I have 77 lugin to add to the 23 lugin, I'll have a ratio of 1 to 100, and therefore it'll become mutter. The second halach of the Mishnah is Ve'ena mechumetz mechametz. Omer Rabbi Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Masnisin like Rabbi Elazar. Our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Elazar. It's none. We learned in a Mishnah, So'or shel chulin v'shel truma shenaflu l'toicha yis. If you have a so'or, a yeast of chulin and truma that fell into a dough, v'loy b'zeh k'day l'hachas, v'loy b'zeh k'day l'hachas, each one by itself would not have been able to leaven the dough, but then it's starfu, but together they did have the power, v'chmitzu, and they were mechametz the next dough. So the shayla is, does the next dough have a din of truma or not? Rabbi Elazar Omer, achar achron aniba. I always look at what is last. If the last one to fall in was the chulin, then it does not make, that's what gave the power to this, to the dough. And therefore it'll be chulin. However, if the last thing to fall into that dough was truma, even though the truma can't do it by itself, I will say that it will make the container, the dough, truma. Rashi points out for the Gemara in Masechta Pesachim, Daf Chav Zayin, that the Gemara's maskana is that Rav Eliezer only says this when the truma was removed from the dough. But if, then we go after the last one, but if the truma that was not removed, and now you have truma and chulin together, then Rav Lezer Shita is, zev is that gairim is usur, that you don't look at what's last, but we'll say it's always usur when you have a mutter and a isser, and each one by itself couldn't do it, but together they could do it, then we have a din of zev is that gairim, and it is usur. On that, the Rabbanan argue, whether the Isser fell first, or the Isser fell later, we hold Zev is that Garim is Mutter, and therefore the only way that the dough could be considered Truma is if the Truma that fell into the Chulin by itself had the power to be mechametz the chulin. But if the truma by itself didn't have enough, it was only together with the chulin, it just made it, the chulin and the truma together, to be mechametz that second chulin. So it comes out, if you look at the truma itself didn't have the power to mechametz the second chulin. Therefore, the second chulin remains chulin, because we say zev zegoyrim, if two things together cause it, it's mutter. It's only if the truma by itself would have had the power, then it would be awesome. So our Mishnah will be going lefi cheshbin, that's going according to the chachamim, who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. That's why we said, Rabbi Eichlin said, Masnisin deloy ka Rabbi Eliezer. Now we go to the third din of the Mishnah. Ve'ena maim shuvim poisim usam mikveh. Mantana, who's our Mishnah going like? Om Rabbi Chibar Abba, Rabbi Yechim, Rabbi Lezer ben Yakvi. It's going according to Rabbi Lezer ben Yakvi. It's not Rabbi Lezer ben Yakvi. Omer, mikveh sheyesh bei esrim achas saw make shom. It has 21 saw of rainwater. Memala bekesev, he can fill up with his shoulder, on his shoulder, he can take vessels. Sha esrei saw, 19 saw, upoiskel mikveh, he lets them flow into the mikveh, as we turn to the few days, Amid Beis. Vehein tohiren, as Rashi explains, they're kosher to be tovel. Why? Shahashi'iva metaheres, you can, even though maim shuvin, which is taken from a keli, and not direct rainwater, but it was scooped together from a keli, that passes a mikveh that doesn't have yet 40 saw in it, but here it will be mutter. Why? Shashi'ivu metaheres berevia ubam shacha. If there is a rove of rainwater, which is not maim shuvin, like our case, 21 verses 19 of Mayim Shuvin, and the Mayim Shuvin has Ubam Shacha. As Rashi explains, Hamshacha means that you make a channel away from the mikveh, and then you pour the Mayim Shuvin into the channel, which goes into the mikveh. So there, Hamshacha of Mayim Shuvin, when you have a roiv of Megishamim, the two together, will permit you to add the 19 saw of Mayim Shuvin. So that is what the Mishnah means when it says that Mayim Shuvin, Ein Mayim Shuvin Poisim Samikveh, Elfi Cheshbon. If it's 2020, then you don't have a roif. Then it'll be, it will passel the mikveh. But if you have 21 to 19, then it will not passel the mikveh. So that's the cheshbon that you have to make. So it would seem, says the Gemara, Mechlal, the Rabbanan Savri, Rabbiya Uvamam Shachaloi. As Rashi explains, because this Lashon is a Lashon of Kula. Ein Hamayim Shuvim. You, Rabbanu, want to say that Mayim Shuvin is always possible, that Revi and Amshacha will not help. I'm saying that no, you have to make a Cheshbon, and if there's Roiv Megishamim with Amshacha, it'll be Mutter. But it seems from the Lashon of the Kula of our Mishnah that the Rabbanu who argue on this Shita are Machmer, Mechal the Rabbanu Tzavid, Revi and Amshacha, Loi. But that doesn't make sense. Why? Elahadich yasa Ravin or Rabbi Yochanan Shiuva Shehim Shichua Kulatayra. Ravin said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Mayim Shuvin, even if the whole mikvah is made of Mayim Shuvin through Hamshacha, it is tar. So Mani, who's that going like? According to your sheet, the Rabbanan are more machmer on Rabbi Yezer. So loy Rabbanan loy Rabbi Yezer. It's not going like the Rabbanan because they say that even roiv with Hamshacha doesn't help. Certainly, if it's kuloi hamshach, it doesn't help. And loy l'Rabbi Eliezer, and not according to Rabbi Eliezer, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, you at least need a roiv. But if the whole thing is hamshacha, then Rabbi Eliezer's moita the mayim shuvim can't be mutter the whole thing through hamshacha. So who's it going like? Ella omer, and here the Misar Shas says that Rashi's goyris rapapa. Ella omer rapapa. I'm going to tell you a whole new pshat. But Negeya, this shaila that we just had, Einechanami, our Mishnah is not speaking about it. Because in fact, as Ravin says, the Rabbanan are more makel than Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is the machmer one. The Rabbanan hold, even if you have 40 sov Mayim Shuvin, it's mutter through Hamshacha. Rabbi Eliezer's machmer, no, you need a roiv of Megishamim and a miyut, you need 21 to 19 at least. But the Rabbanan hold that even if you have 40 of Mayim Shuvin, it's mutter with Hamshacha. So what is our Mishnah, the Kula, the Lashon of our Mishnah is the Kula. What case is it speaking about? A different case. Ella, Amar Papa, Lefi Cheshbon Kalim. You have to count up how many Kalim. What does that mean? The Yosef ben Chunihi. It's going according to Yosef ben Chunihi. He is Makel against the Rabbanan who are Machmer. The Sanya we learned in a Brisa. Shloisha look at Mayim Shuvim. Shenafu Lamayim. Bishnaim Shloisha Kalim. So if three Lugan fell in two or three Kalim, which means that, let's say, in the case of two kalim, then each kali contained more than a lug. In the case of three kalim, each kali contained exactly a lug. Vafilu barba v'chamish, even you have four or five kalim, where each kali contained less than a lug. In all of these cases, the chacham hold poislam es hamikvah. If you didn't have 40 saw of rainwater, you had less, and in it fell three lugin in any combination of kalim, it passes the mikveh. On this, Yosef ben Chunihi Omer, he's mekel. Bishnaim u'shloisha kalim poisel. If you have two or three where you have either a lug or more than a lug, then in the chanami, it passes the mikveh. Poisel is a mikveh. But barba v'chamisha, if you have four or five, then it comes out that as each keli is, the water is falling of the Mayim Shuvim, it's less than a lug, which is following in, then Yaisi ben Chayni holds, Ein Poislam the Mikveh, doesn't pass the Mikveh. That's the Kula of our Mishnah. The Lashon of our Mishnah is a Kula, because our Mishnah says that mayim shuven einam mayim shuven poistum some mikveh el lefi cheshbon. It only passes with a cheshbon, not like the chachamim will hold that there's no cheshbon, whether it's two or three or four or five, doesn't make a difference. It always passes. Yosef ben Chani says you have to make a cheshbon. If it's two or three, yes, but if it's four or five, it does not passes the mikveh. Continues the Gemara with the next halacha. Vein mechates, nas mechates, unless the water was put in first and then the efer. Mantana, who's the Tana? Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, do like Rabbi Shimon, this is not like Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon says you could do it the opposite way also, you could put in the efer first, the Sani Rulat number Isa. And this is speaking about the offer, the earth of a Saita. A Saita is a woman who her husband warned her not to go into seclusion with a man, and she went into seclusion. And now it's possible that she was Mizaneh, Tachas by law, and she's brought to the Kohen. She claims her innocence, that she didn't do anything wrong. So she's brought to the Kohen. The Kohen tells her how terrible it is if she was Mizana, and she's going to get a terrible punishment. He reads a parsha of Saita to her. And then he takes the water from the Kir, he takes earth from the earth of the Beis HaMikdash, and he mixes it together, and then that parsha of Saita that he just read to her, he erases it, and it falls into the mixture, and this is called the Mayim HaMoharim. So if she was guilty, she dies a horrible death, and if she's innocent, and she never had children before, she will now have children, or if she had sickly children, she'll have healthy children. This is the Kitzur, the parsha of Sota. So now the question is, what goes into the vessel first? Does the earth go in first, or does the water of the Mekir go in first? So we learned in a Braisa that Higdim Afalamayim Pasul, if first you put in the earth and then you put in the water, it's Pasul. Reb Shimon, Machsher. Reb Shimon says it's Kasher. My type of Reb Shimon. What's the reason of Reb Shimon? So actually the Pasuk says in Bamidbor, Perakei, Pasuk Yitzayin, U'mino Afra Sheyiyah B'karka Mishkan Yikach HaKoyin V'nasna Alamayim. It's clear in the Pasuk that you have to put the water in first in the Keli, and from the earth of the Kark of the Mishkan, you put that earth into the water in the Kli. But what happens if you did the opposite? L'chatchila, you should put the water in first and then the offer. So the Tanakam holds, if you did the opposite, it's Pasuk Reb Shimon Machsher. My time at Reb Shimon, what's the reason for Reb Shimon? The Chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, now this Pasuk is concerning our Inyan of Mechatas. V'lochu latame me'afor me'afar sreifas hachatas v'nosen olav mayim chayim. So you should take from the offer of the sreifas hachatas, of the burnt chatas, and put water on it. V'tani Reb Shimon Oimer, v'chi offer who? We're talking about earth, that's by Saita, but we're talking about mechatas. V'alei eifer, it's ashes of the burnt por aduma. So why do we call it offer? So he answers, shina kosmi mashmoi, the Torah changed it from the simple understanding of ashes, ladun heimenu gzer shavah, to make a gzer shavah from eifer, por aduma, which we're now going to call offer, to afar Saita. Nemer kan offer v'nemer l'halon offer, by both the par aduma, here it says offer, and there by Saita it says offer. Malhan, just like over there by Saita, offer al gabi mayim, just like we said, the offer has to be on the water, as the pasuk says, v'nasana offer asher yeh b'karka mishkan, u'mino offer asher yeh b'karka mishkan, yikach hakoyim v'nasana alamoyim. So it's clear that the mayim goes in first, and on top of that is the offer. Afkan, here too, by par aduma, offer al gabi mayim. The offer is supposed to go on top of the mayim. Bar Uma Khan, just like by Chatas, Higdim offer Lumayim Kosher, that if you first put the offer in and the afer of the Mechaz and then the water, it's Kosher, as we'll soon get to learn from where we know this. Af Khan, here too by Saita, Higdim offer Lumayim Kosher, Bidiyevin. If you did the wrong thing and you put in the offer first and then the Mime, it's Kosher. So the Gemara, that's a sheet of Reb Shimon. So we see clearly that Reb Shimon holds that you could put the offer, the afer of the mechatas in first, and on top of it, the water. V'hocha minolon. How do you know, in fact, over here by Mechatis that you can do it? Trey Kroiksevi, because there are two psukim. Actually, this is two parts of the same pasuk. The pasuk says, V'nosan alav maim chaim el keli. So from the beginning of the pasuk, V'nosan alav alma efer bereisha. It's mashmur. You put the water on top of the ashes. So the ashes are first, and then you put the water. But V'horiksevi, at the end of the pasuk, it says, maim chaim el keli. The maim chaim, it doesn't say goes to the Afer, it says the Mayim Chaim is going directly into the Keli. So HaKetzad, which one is first? From the Reish, it's Mashmah, the offer is first, and the Sefer is Mashmah, the Mayim is first. So the answer is, Ratza Offer Lamata, Ratza Offer Lamala. If he wants, he can put the offer first and then the water. If he wants, he puts the water first and the offer on top of it. That's the sheet of Rab Shimon. Vitana didan. So our Mishnah that says that you have to put the water in first, it only becomes mechatas. Once you put the water in, so immediately when the Efer touches the water, it becomes mechatas. That is going not like Rab Shimon. But the Gemara wants to know, what does our Tana do with the limud of Rab Shimon? Vitana didan. My Taima. What is his reason? Amalach. Save for the Kura Dafka. The end of the pasuk, which says, Maim Chaim El Keli. The Maim is hitting the, right away to Kelly, it's not hitting the Afer. That's the Iker Pasuk. Aye, what about the ratio? It says, V'nosan olav mayim. He should put the mayim on top of the Afer. The Afer is first in. No, that means la'arvon, that you put in the water, and then you put in the ashes. Then you take your finger, Rashi says, and you take the water that was at the bottom under the Afer, and you bring it on top of the Afer and mix it up together. Ask the Gemara, my chazus the amrat seifa de kro dafke. Why do you say that the seifa is dafke, that the water goes into the keli? That's dafke. And the resh is lav dafke. The resh is just teaching you that you should mix from the bottom, the water at the bottom should go, you should mix it with your finger to bring it on top. Dilma resha dafke. Maybe the main part of the pasuk is the first part. V'nasan olav. You have to put the water on top of the ashes. I, Rashi says, what about the Sefer, which says, Maim Chaim El Keli? That's to teach you a different halacha. That's to teach you that you don't take the Maim Chaim of the water and fill up one Keli, and then from that Keli bring it to the Keli of the ashes, but rather the Keli of the ashes, that itself has to directly come in contact with the Maim Chaim without any intermediary. That's what the Reisha is, that is what the Seifa is teaching you. Maybe the Reisha is Dafka, that the ashes go in first, and the Seifa is to tell you that Maim Chaim, when does it become Chaim? It becomes Chaim in the Keli, and not in bringing it from one Keli to another Keli. So the Gemara says, Loi Matzah Zamra, that you can't say, according to this Mandi Omar, because Ma'amatzina B'chol Makayim, what do we find all over? Machshir L'mayla, that which makes the water kosher to be used, for example, Rashi says, in the case of Afar Sota, what makes it into the bitter waters, the Ma'am Amarim? That's the Afar. And over there, the machshir that is making the water into the Maim Amarim is always on top. The water's on the bottom. Because everybody's moided at the lashon of the pasuk in Bamidbor, hey, pasuk Yitzayin is, Umino Afra Sheyiyah Bekarka Mishkan, Yikech HaKoyim, V'nosan El Amoyim. There it says clearly, everybody's moided L'chatchila, the Torah says clearly, that the Afra has to come on top of the water. It's only a shaila b'diyevet if you didn't do that. But just like over there we see that machshir is l'mailo, and in fact there are other halachas where we find it, but the one that we're learning is the easiest to bring of the offer of the saita. So just like there, the machshir is l'mailo. Afkan machshir l'mailo. So to here, if you have a choice to learn the reishas the ikar or the sefer the ikar, I will tell you that the Iker is the Seifa, that the water goes El Keli, and on top of that comes the Afer, which is the Machshir, that makes the water into the Mechatis. I, the Reish of the Pasuk said, V'nasana love, that is only La'arvon, to take with your finger the water that's underneath the ashes and to lift it up over the ashes. But Avada, as our Mishnah says, that Ein mechatas, oisim mechatas, elo im matan efer. It becomes mechatas when the machshir of the efer, of the por aduma, goes on top of the water, and immediately then it becomes the mechatas.